All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, we talking. It's Jay Styles. I got my man O here in the building. O here, what's up, man?
Yeah.
O here's in the building.
Yeah.
I got B Brown. B Brown, what's going on, B Brown?
What up? You know, it's your girl, B Brown. I'm in the building.
There she go. Conversation piece. Killer Kills is in the building. What's up, Kill?
Yo, feeling good. How you guys doing?
Killer Kills in the building. We got a special guest in the building, Trish. Trish, you want to?
Hey.
Trish?
My name's Trishes.
Trishes.
Yeah.
All right, so wait.
Rah, 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 go.
All right, so basically, I seen Trish 2 years ago is at Cedric the Entertainer's hat party. Who said? Remember that, Trish?
Mm-hmm.
And Trish provided the music. So I seen Trish. I was like, who is this cat up here on, you know, singing? Who's this lady up here singing? And he was like, oh yeah, she's providing the music for the night. But I really enjoyed your music that night, so I kept tabs with you. And then ever since then, you know, you did Swimming Pool and. And now you have your new single. What's your new single? I can't see.
It's Day Jobs.
Day Jobs. So let everybody know where you're from and just a little bit about yourself.
I'm from San Diego, and I went to school in Boston. And then I moved to LA like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just do like indie pop, sort of Kimbra, Lord, St. Vincent-esque kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of vocal looping and like beatboxing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too, because in your live performances, you do a lot of like vocal percussion. Mm-hmm. Like, where did you get that from?
I was actually taking a class in college.
Berkeley, right?
Yeah, I went to the Berkeley College of Music. I was taking a class on Middle Eastern music, and you guys know what tablas are? Like the Indian drums?
Okay.
They have really specific sounds, so when you're learning to play tablas, you speak it. Like kind of the way you would beatbox, you imitate the tablas. So usually when people play tablas, they speak it and play at the same time.
Can you do it right now? Because I don't know what that is.
Like, okay, so a tabla, it has a lot of different, like,
can you do like
it goes like boom, like it does like, okay. It can go really high, you can be like, bup, 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 bup,
I get
like,
what you're saying, yeah.
Or like, you can go like boom,
yeah,
boom,
I get
boom.
I get
okay. So it does a different sound like that. And so I just thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing the vocal looping and stuff, I was like, I can't beatbox, but like, I can do that. So
I mean, I hear you beatboxing. You did that on what's that song you did? Was it Animals?
Yeah.
When you did a live.
Yeah. So I do some beatboxing.
Yeah, you do some beatboxing.
But some of it's just like just random noises.
Justin Timberlake got away with that for years. So
yeah.
Ride the wave.
He did it on 2020. I forgot what song he did it
he
for.
Did,
it,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
But like he's been like low key beatboxing since right after NSYNC.
Right.
Even probably during.
He's from Memphis though.
Oh yeah. Do we any words on Memphis?
I love Justin
Everyone
Timberlake.
From Memphis
oh, JT.
Knows how to
2020
beatbox.
Experience. I got it. Yeah. I love JT.
So who's your inspiration?
Musically. I
know that in your bio you said that Annie Clark.
I love Annie Clark.
And I love Florence Machine.
Florence the Machine is great. I love how she was the first one that like I feel like in the sort of indie female genre that really started incorporating like more hip hop samples and sounds. Mm-hmm. And I really like Lorde. I think she's so cool. I think what she's doing is awesome. Mm-hmm. I loved Regina Spektor, and that's where I get like a lot of writing wise.
But do you write your own stuff?
Yeah, I write.
Day Job is great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Is there like one particular person that inspires you the most though, over somebody else?
Right now, I'm just in my super like loving Annie Clark, St. Vincent. Like I saw her live show a few months ago for her last record. And it just blew me away. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so glued to the performance, but at the same time, like, wanted to, like, jump out of my seat and go home because I had so, like, it made me think so much. Like, it gave me so many ideas, so.
So I want to ask you about your experience, like, at school, because we were talking about, like, a lot of artists that make, like, bad decisions. Does that help you going to school, or do you think it helped you, you know, because you said you learned about, you know, the Indian drums and things like that? How do you feel like the schooling helps
good
you
question. I was gonna
be an artist?
That's a good question.
Obviously, like, all musicians don't have to go to school. I just really like school. I've, like, always liked school. Mm-hmm. I like learning. I'm good at school. And I feel like for me, it was just so helpful as far as my songwriting, as far as my performance, as far as my ego. Like, it just really taught me to buckle down and, like, really gave me so much respect for other musicians.
So you think it definitely makes a major impact on your music?
A huge impact.
And you know, it's funny because it's ironic because your inspiration, Annie Clark, she said something, like, I was watching an interview with her, and she said something like, you only start making music when you unlearn the stuff that you learned in school.
Oh, wow.
Which was funny. And when you think about it, it's kind of true, because sometimes you focus on what you learned and mm-hmm. what you need to do, like the, I guess, like the proper steps to make music instead of just making music.
Uh-huh.
And so what are your thoughts on that? Just,
I think the way one of my teachers explained it is that it's just like more tools in your toolbox. And, you know, if it's more of a, if you're struggling at a point in your creative process, it's helpful. Mm-hmm. It's helpful to know, say you're about to write a bridge of a song and you just don't know where to go. Well, it's helpful to be like, well, I've used these set of chords that are more in like the major chords of a key. So maybe for this bridge, I should go to the minor two. Like, yeah, that would intellectually make sense. Okay. I think it's helpful to me. It's helpful to me to cross barriers, not to like get stuck in ruts as much. But I think that's totally true. Like, I think you're learning. It's all something that's going to help you subconsciously. And I also think it helps you articulate yourself musically.
Okay. But Berklee pushes you to be different and pushes you to be artsy at the same time, right? If I'm not mistaken. Because I got a whole bunch of friends that went to Berklee.
I feel like
different. They get different. no diss. Like, they be like,
they different.
Yo, they are like, I'm like, they go to Berklee. I'm like, oh, I can tell, bro. Like, different.
I could tell.
Because Berklee's more like a culture to me. Mm-hmm. Of all the students that I've ever met for Berklee, it's like, y'all went to Berklee, you know what I mean? We like the Ivy League of music schools, and they have kind of a culture and they're real different, artsy. That's what I'm trying to say. They laugh.
Well, that's it. I mean, I went to Emerson, so I was like, yeah, I was right down the road. And I agree that Berklee does have a feel that, but like the same way Emerson had a feel.
Right.
So I guess my question is, how do you think Boston has like influenced your sound? Like, when I was up there, like, people like Regina Spektor were huge. The like indie folk scene was, I mean, probably the livest I've seen it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I definitely hear like some influences there, but like, how would you say that Boston has affected you?
It's kind of hard for me to like separate Boston and Berklee since I'm so immersed in it. I love the feel of Boston. I think it's just really inspirational, visually and like historically. But it's like, it's just super hard for me to separate like my school from Boston, because I didn't actually live there at all while I wasn't going to school.
Oh, weird.
So I was only there when I was in school.
In school.
Yeah.
That's wild. Where'd you live?
My first year I lived in the dorms. My second year I lived in Alston. And my third year I lived like right behind the BSO.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your come up as far as when you was younger. I know that you said that you was kind of scared of failing, which most people are when they're chasing the dream. So it took you like forever to actually get on that stage for the first time.
Yeah, I was singing since I was really little. Like, my family always like made me sing in front of them. I used to sing in front of my stuffed animals. Like, I used to play pretend. I used to play pretend that I was in music school, and I would like go from room to room to like my different classes. Wow. But I think I was always, my family's from Trinidad, and education and academics are very important. Yeah. And so I wasn't really raised with the mentality that doing music was an option. Mm-hmm. And I think also I didn't see anyone that was successful that looked like me.
Right. Somebody.
When I was little. And so I just thought that wasn't an option for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I started actually like performing out in the world when I was like 11. I don't know. I just had to do it, I guess. But
does your family support you?
My family totally supports me. You know, I think it was a difficult thing to accept at first, for them, because it's a difficult life. Like, it's not a life that has
it's not steady.
Exactly. It's not steady. It's a lot of rejection. Right. There's no, you know, like ABC step list of exactly what you need to do. And I think the only reason my parents would have ever been hesitant to support me as a musician is because they want my happiness. Exactly. And you know, they didn't want me to struggle.
Is that why you came up with the song Day Jobs?
Day Jobs. Yeah, because that song is hard.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. I'm gonna ask you a quick question. Like, is there a time between the time that you first got on stage and now that you felt like, maybe I should, you know, give up? Maybe I should do something.
Get a nursing degree. Right, maybe
I should pursue something.
Not really. I think there were a lot of times that I say I should just give up, but I know I can't. It's not like really, it's not that much of a choice. Option, right? Yeah, it's just like something I like need to do, you know?
Okay, so let's talk about because first, when you came out, your name was Trish. Mm-hmm. And then you moved it to Trish's.
Yeah.
Why the move?
So I had more of like a, as far as genres go, I used to do more of like Regina Spektor, singer-songwriter, piano-vocal stuff that was very much like from me, directly my perspective. And then I started doing all the vocal looping and stuff. And with that, I changed not necessarily my writing style, but the topic of my writing became a lot more about psychology and about like internal and mental struggle. And I felt that I was writing as different people within myself, and especially with the multiple voices.
So multiple personalities.
It's like multiple personalities, multiple voices.
On day job, when you switch the chords up, you sing in different.
Yeah, and I do a lot of those, and even in the, you know, in the chorus, when in the chorus I'm singing. There's like one lead, mm-hmm. and then it does a really high part that mm-hmm. just want everyone right. to look at me. And so it's just kind of, I just wanted to show that, like, you know, obviously it's a struggle and it's a noble struggle, but that part of it is just kind of to say, like, but also it's also a vain kind of struggle right. as well. You know, I can't say like I'm struggling so hard so I can save lives and
gotcha.
Like be a doctor or something. Yeah. It's I'm struggling to do something I want to do desperately. But it's not like life or death, and there's definitely a lot of I don't want to say narcissism mm-hmm. that comes with it, but there's definitely that like attention seeking element mm-hmm. of that struggle, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving to your new single, Day Jobs, which the video comes out
tomorrow,
and you have your birthday party and your video premiere party on Tuesday
when? Tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Yes. Dude,
I'm all wrong, man.
Can I show up in a clown suit?
Please.
In a clown suit.
Can you no. pull balloons for people?
No. No. Like that's not no. Like you, I'm in saying no.
And it's
no
clown. I guess you can't. She said no.
Okay. It's gonna be a no. It's gonna be a no.
So
oh, he wants to embarrass you.
Lyrically and Day Jobs, where did that come from? Did that come from like a personal experience from yourself? Because basically the lyrics from Day Job, your chorus is, we're all working day jobs, hoping one day they'll pay y'all, minimum wage ain't enough. And then, mm-hmm. what's happened to that for? I forgot.
But we keep working day jobs. I just wanna be somebody.
I just wanna be somebody.
Just want everyone to look at me. So that's where that like hint of narcissism comes
like,
in.
That's like kind of like real life though. I mean, everybody goes, you know, everybody
everybody wants recognition,
right?
Yeah. For whatever they do,
right?
You know, it doesn't have to be I'm on stage. I mean, if you're a doctor, you want the highest honor, or you know, a lawyer, you know, it doesn't matter.
People do, they want to pursue what they really want to pursue, but in the meantime, they may have to do something else.
Sure, sure. People, I mean, yeah, that's like human nature, but I mean, at the same time, I think the song definitely resonates with, especially like this generation of like no one wants to settle. Like, right. We've seen like that you don't have to settle, and like you could like maybe live a poorer but happier life. And mm-hmm. I think that people, you know, millennials are very much about that. And yeah. So like your sound, I think, definitely resonates, and like mm-hmm. it's very real, and I think it Thank touches you. A lot of people.
Yeah. Thank you.
I really liked it though. You know how you turn on new artists, like, here we go again. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh. It's that syndrome. Like, everybody like, my demo's hot, yo. I'm the world best. And I turned it on. I was like, okay, I feel like, because I'm an Outkast fan and Amy Winehouse. And I heard both of those in your music. Outkast, cool. Like the guitar, and then, you know, Amy Winehouse with the voice and some of the vocal arrangements. So I was listening. I was like, then the part that really got me, I was like, the writing is good. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The writing is what caught me in it. So I was listening. I was like, did she listen to Amy Winehouse and Outkast, Annie or whatever? Because I was like, I feel that vibe. So, you know, it was good. So for me to get a cold introduction, because Jay ain't going to be like, give his opinion. He going to let you think what you want to think. You know what I'm saying? So I thought, clean, I was like, yo, this is dope. It's actually dope. She actually is good. I want to know who wrote it. And then when you was like, I wrote it, I was like, okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
So, I mean, did that come from your personal experience or maybe somebody... Just that song.
I think I just feel like I have so many incredibly talented friends that are just struggling. And that's all it's about, really. And I think at that point I was like still nannying. Because I wrote it like a year and something ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just, you know, I see my friends struggling and I know how talented they are and how hard they work, and it just sucks, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it that's
does suck. That's it, you know. It's just about the people that I really respect, and those are the people I respect most. Like how do you work 40 hours a week and then you have 5 writing sessions a week, and then you go to the studio and then you play shows? Like, how do people do that?
I almost started crying.
hit home for me.
So yeah, I mean, honestly, like it's about me, but it's also about my friends and the people that I respect and I look up to.
Like that was like when I listened, that was real life. Because when I go in to listen to a new artist, the first thing I listen to, in your case, the R&B artist, I
thought it was the beat, Jay. What about the beat?
You know what?
What about the beat?
When it's hip hop, I listen to the beat. But when it's R&B, I listen to the chorus first. Then I go back and listen to the lyrics. Then I go back one more time just to listen to about, you know, miss anything out or whatever. But I just thought when I heard, I was like, man, this is actually like real life, you know, situation that you got going on. So can you tell us like a little bit about what's going to be in the video that's premiering tomorrow?
Well, the video
just a little
the
time
video really video. Follows what's going on lyrically in the song. Mm-hmm. No, it does not stray too far from that.
I mean, you can't tell like the concept or the video.
You had any clowns with goatee?
Well, basically, the first clowns 3 lines. It's mostly clowns with gold teeth, but but besides for that, it's clowns with gold teeth like working at coffee shops. It's
right. Really, oh, that's dope, right? That's scare all the kids.
That's what it should have been.
So Trisha,
I think we got the clown right here.
Is there anyone you want to work with, like that you envision yourself producer wise or artist wise? You want to work with?
I haven't thought about that. Yeah, there's tons of people I would want to work with.
Who's the top 3?
Top 3.
Rap, rock, hip hop.
Right, choose one from each.
Yeah.
Oh, good lord. I really like Childish Gambino.
Oh, wow.
I think he's really cool.
He's different. He's
cool. Donald. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's really cool. So as far as like
kudos
to collaborate with a rap artist, that would be awesome. Pop artist. There's so many of them.
There's one though, like your dream.
My dream pop artist? I don't know, because like Lorde and I feel like are pretty similar genre-wise, and if I was gonna collaborate with someone, like, I'd love to write with her and stuff like that, but as far as a collaboration to make something, like, different, man, that's really hard. I'm blanking on everyone that exists.
It doesn't have to be a pop. It could be
one pop, one rock.
It could be all hip hop. It could be a rock.
I would love to work with Annie Clark because obviously, like, I have a huge woman crush on her, as you've noticed from St. Vincent. I love her.
What about a producer? Top producer.
Top producer. I mean, you know, it'd be great to work with, you know, those crazy pop producers like Max Martin, and there's all that stuff going on with Dr. Luke, but
I'm asking because you have to speak it into existence, girl, you know.
Oh, speak it out. I like there. That I like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, like Max Martin, Shellback, Dr. Luke, like great, all those great pop producers would just be fun to work with for sure.
That's cool. Okay, could you sing like a little bit of the chorus of Day Jobs for us?
Are you gonna beatbox for me?
No. Come on, man.
Come on. Oh, hey, you talking all that smack all day.
No, somehow it goes.
Okay. The chorus. We're all working day jobs, hoping one day they'll pay up. Minimum wage ain't enough, but we keep working day jobs. I just wanna be somebody, just want everyone to look out for me. But I just keep on praying, waiting, working day jobs.
And there you go,
yeah.
Man. I said that some solo in there. You know,
yeah, you like dropped right at the right time. Jeez, you like know.
There you go, man. Trisha's Day Job. Make sure y'all look out for the single. Is it gonna be on iTunes tomorrow, right?
The single's out on iTunes, and the video will be on YouTube tomorrow at youtube.com/Trisha's Music.
All right, you got one more question.
Cass, do you get most of your inspiration from the people that's close to you, or like personal things you've been through? Because you got real passionate about when you start talking about your friends, you see them struggle or whatever.
Right. I'm very passionate about that. Really, my main inspiration as far as an artist writing-wise, I'm just really fascinated with, like, internal struggles. And, you know, like, the whole, like, Freudian theory of, like, the id and the superego and the struggle between the two. The struggle between, like, our basic instincts and our basic wants and needs and our higher thinking, and yeah, that fascinates me, and I like to write about that a lot.
All right, man. So, thank you for hanging out with us, and we got three other topics. Are you going to stick around for us?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's going to stick around for that. We get kind of heated in these topics.
I'm pumped.
I might yell at you.
We don't take anything personal. We still okay. After that discussion. Okay.
Cool.
Britney's pouring coffee. Bo is at the boutique down on 44th Street. I am at a stranger's home in the hills. The price of the dogs, each could pay all my bills. Wearing the children, clearing their conscience, stuck in the kids while they go to a benefit. To benefit alone the kids. And we're all working day. Saving up for college, Britney's writing lyrics on a paper napkin. Bo is folding clothes in the display, examining the way the maid wants his name on the label. And I'm just wondering, who am I fooling? What am I doing? And we're all working together. Pay up.
All right, here we go, man. So we back with our new artist, Trishus. That was Day Jobs. And Old Head, myself, Jay Styles, B Brown, Kelly Kills.
All right, so Beyonce dropped the, well, actually, it was a rumor that she was going to drop another album by the end of the month.
It's two songs, right?
Right, but it just came out that she's releasing the platinum edition of her self-entitled album, which came out already, but it's going to be coming out November 24th. And we all know that Taylor Swift went platinum.
Platinum, 1.25.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the numbers work as far as like if you release a platinum edition. Kelly, do you know if
they
release
a platinum edition? It's a different number.
Okay. So what do y'all think about this this new Beyonce platinum edition?
Pissed off.
I mean, it's a good stocking stuffer. I mean, whatever.
Nah, dude. Okay, this is all right. One, I don't need one of the richest women ever releasing an album with two new songs on it, and then selling it to all the babies like it's brand new. Like, well, I don't want that.
She has that DVD of the run on the run tour.
Yeah, I mean, and people can also steal HBO, so like that's not that special.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trishus, what do you think?
I'm for it.
Would you go buy that album?
Probably not.
As an artist,
two new songs? That's all?
It's two new songs.
That's like and four remixes. That's for the super fans.
Two songs, four remixes.
And a DVD.
And a DVD of the On the Run tour, I think.
Interesting. That sounds expensive. And I don't think I would get it. Like, I love her. She's amazing. But, you know.
You wouldn't buy it.
No.
Nah, dude. Sorry. It's like it is definitely for the super fan, but it's just like, I mean, she just wants her name back in the news about something other than Blue Ivy. Like, by the way, like Blue Ivy and North are like the cutest babies in the world right now, so that's all we see. Like, true. When like for Halloween or whatever, it was like she was like Rhythm Nation Janet Jackson, which she looked hella dope as, but like then we were like, ah, oh, look, Blue Ivy is Michael Jackson. We didn't care about Beyonce anymore.
So you think she's trying to still shine from her baby?
Yes, because I don't think she wants her baby to have shine because she's a baby, which I think is good parenting. I'm not mad at that. but at the same time, yeah, I think this is like cheap. It's a gimmick. Like, you're giving us songs that we can hear on YouTube at any time, and then two new songs that like,
go ahead. One of the songs is called Ring Off. Do you think she's preparing for something, like trying to give you like heads
no.
up? Because it's been a lot in the news anyway about her and Jay. It's been a whole lot, and then really a whole lot. And then
Elevator Gate.
Ring Off.
Have y'all seen the video of her at the game when she was with Jay-Z and then she was like rocking back and forth, like she was tweaking or something?
Looking dazed and confused. I felt really concerned about her. Yeah, so her and Jay, they said, like, she said something to him. He was like, I don't know, shrug. Like, Kanye shrugged straight up. And then, like, she just, like, it was like Miss Seeley from the, she looked wild, bro. And then, like, there's so many blogs, like, are you okay, boo? And I really felt the same way. She's definitely in a different world right now, and I think, I mean, this is a business move. Like, I don't think this has anything to do with her acting crazy or whatever, but it's, I mean, I don't think that Ring Off means anything, but I do think she's mad at Jay since Elevator Gate.
do you think she's on drugs?
Yes.
Do you think she's trying to put him in a place with this album? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like she's going to re-release, like, Irreplaceable?
Yeah. Like, I think Ring Off, when I seen, I was in the dress, I said, Ring Off? I was like, okay.
Maybe it's just, like, ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
She probably wants people to, like, speculate about it.
Sure.
Because that's all.
I don't know. No.
So, okay.
You have another bitch on your arm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So her self-entitled album, the original album, made it like 600,000. So,
Beyonce.
Do you think the true fans, the Beyonce fans, will buy this album?
No. Because, okay, so this is what I think about Beyonce fans.
She got crazy fans. I think they will.
No, yeah. Like, she doesn't have fans like Lady Gaga, like,
no,
or,
not like that.
You know what I mean? Or even Taylor Swift, like, Everyone is a Beyonce fan. Like, you can play Beyonce at any party at any time and people are gonna be like, put a ring on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you're gonna get that. But at the same time, like, no one listens to a whole Beyonce album. I mean, I do. Like, since Me, Myself, and I was like, you win the game. But no, for the most part, nah, dude. Most people like ride for her singles, but her fans, like, sure, will buy her album, but I don't think she has many like ride or die fans like that.
I gotta confess to something. I like Beyonce. Uh-oh. But I did download that Flawless.
I knew it.
But it's not enough new tracks on here for if somebody has the original version. they're not gonna get this version because it's not enough new stuff on it. So why buy it if you don't already have it?
They said it was putting the Nicki Minaj version on this one.
Who cares? But I'm saying if you already have it, why would you buy it again and get the same thing and get two new songs and four remixes?
I think the true fans will.
I think there's not that many true fans.
Do y'all think she has incline or decline since being with Jay?
She's been with Jay since like 2003.
So it's been a pretty steady incline.
Keep going up, man.
I mean, yeah, bro. I mean, like her money has gone up.
Jay-Z compliment each other. Like, I think Jay-Z.
I don't think you want to talk about.
I think Jay-Z's career exploded because of Beyonce. And I think Beyonce's career exploded because of Jay-Z.
I don't think it stopped or started. I think it was just like they're exceptional artists. They're good. They're good together. I don't think it helped or hurt or anything. I think they
It definitely helped. I don't think it helped. Them two being married definitely helped each other's.
It helped Jay. It helped Jay. Let's just be real. Yeah. I mean, like, no.
Very ugly.
No, really. It gave a lot of folks hope.
I felt like I was a man. I was like, he can get hot, get any girl. That needs ugly.
Except Beyonce.
It's not about ugly, because I would date an ugly dude. It doesn't matter about how.
Nobody believes that, V.
I would date an ugly dude. I would date an ugly dude, depending on his swag, depending on his. You know,
hold on, V. So you saying that
if a nigga come with one eye, hold on. No teeth.
So see, V Brown, listeners, V Brown is always, she always had these crazy relationship talk. So you tell me, V Brown, you would actually date somebody you wasn't attracted to? Just for
Faces don't attract me. It's different for a man to be attracted to a woman who's beautiful. A man doesn't have to be beautiful. He doesn't. I mean, of course, I would love like a Idris Elba or. Oh yes. Oh.
No. But
that doesn't mean that you have to look like that. I could see why Beyonce is attracted to Jay-Z. It doesn't matter about your facial looks for a man. I don't think
attraction doesn't necessarily have to do with looks.
Yeah. No. 100.
Me. So let's. I'm asking you, Trisha.
You know, bum looking chick. I'm like.
Trisha, yeah, the sexism on this show is always somebody, so live. I swear to God, bro.
When you date somebody, would you have to actually have to be attracted to that person physically?
Yes, but I think you can be physically attracted to someone without them being
conventionally
attractive.
Beautiful, yeah. Hmm. For sure. I mean, like, yeah. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Yo, see. All right, no. Okay. I need this side of the room to calm it down for just a minute before everyone gets hurt. Okay. I'm like, yes. One, attraction is a very personal thing. Like, what people are attracted to is different for everyone. Like, there are dudes that are not just attracted to, like, typically, you know, pretty women. Like, they're attracted to, like, strong women and women who stand up for themselves and women who have their own jobs. You know, Neo made a song about it. I'm just saying, like, there's gotta be true. So I'm saying, like, yeah, I can understand why B is attracted to Jay on account of, like, he's a boss and she loves songs, or she has a lot of songs about wanting a boss. She found him. I think it's a double-edged sword. In that, like, when someone else is a boss, like, they're gonna attract other people that like bosses. And like, I mean, even if you're Beyonce, you're gonna be a little insecure, you know. And I think that's part of why they went on tour together. Honestly, she wanted to see what's happening behind the scenes.
No, I actually think they went on tour together to kind of keep their marriage together. I think
they needed time.
It was falling apart, and they probably was trying to like.
I don't think a tour can help your marriage.
Spending that much time apart that'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Like they just want to spend time together.
Right, they want to spend time together.
As an artist, do you feel like you want to date another artist or you want to date a regular person?
I've actually only ever dated
that term,
musicians.
Regular person.
They're the only people that can understand your life as a woman, because it's different for a woman to date a man who's in the music industry versus a woman who's in the industry.
I see where you're going. So we got V Brown, she's like our relationship expert. So
I'm not an expert because I'm single.
So at the end of the show, we're gonna have like a 5-question relationship for you. Strictly for you.
Amazing. Very excited.
Wow. Well, we're gonna move on with because we got Jay-Z. We're talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce. So there was an article, Complex Magazine. It was 10 reasons why Jay-Z is better than Nas. And then they wrote another perspective where 10 reasons why Nas is better than Jay-Z. Now, Trisha, I'm gonna ask you, Trisha, who you would go with? Like, do you like Jay-Z better or do you like Nas better?
I actually haven't heard of Nas in like years. Like, does he do stuff still?
Oh my goodness! Wow. Oh my goodness!
Shots fired.
But let's just talk about. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because just like Prince, you know, back in Purple Rain days. I mean, you can't take away from Prince's genius.
Okay,
just because he's not relevant now.
Okay,
I have been.
I'm just giving an example.
Six
but
months.
He was on. They canceled that show because he's black. But anyway. Oh,
I think Jay-Z's made a much larger cultural impact overall.
Ooh. Oh man,
I feel.
I'm gonna have to piggyback on that and say no, because I'm gonna tell you why. Because Nas for rap, when he did Illmatic. It was like the birthing of the New York sound, and it made New York rap transcend just from rap to like dominance. So like anytime you ever hear people refer to one of the greatest albums ever, they always say Illmatic, and really that Nas is the most inconsistent person ever.
But he's the most lyricist person ever.
I'm gonna give you this genius on lyricism. Nas got Jay.
Yeah,
he showed that on Ether, but everything else. But Jay got.
We're talking about artists wise, right? We're talking about strictly artists.
But yeah, but if you're talking about different styles, keeping up with the times, picking a producer, putting together.
Okay,
great albums,
I feel like this.
Jay,
I feel like
I see what she's talking about. Like
Jay-Z just culture crosses boundaries culturally.
Right.
Exactly.
That's why I feel like Mate overall probably has had a wider cultural impact.
Right.
Not necessarily a deeper one, a wider one.
I definitely agree with that. I want to get into these lists a little bit because they really intrigue me. I will note that one of Jay-Z's 10 reasons for being better than Nas is Beyonce.
Yeah.
Which, that's some bullshit.
That's fair.
It's absolutely fair. Honestly, when I think of, wait.
Nas looks better than Jay-Z, so maybe he got to her first. I mean, you don't think Nas has swag like he could pull Beyonce?
But you got
He married Khalees. Okay, nothing.
I like her.
I did too.
It was a bad business move.
Beyonce.
You see how much money he getting raised for on Khalees?
No,
Khalees is taking all of his money.
I'm
not talking about that. I mean, looks, Khalees's career. It doesn't matter. But I mean, they're both cute girls. But I'm talking about Nas's swag. I'm talking about Nas versus Jay-Z.
But come on,
if Beyonce met Nas and Jay-Z and gave them both a chance, you don't think Nas could have pulled Beyonce?
I mean, Nas is real short though.
You can't really talk about that because Beyonce married Jay-Z. But
they also have like personalities.
Exactly,
they're people.
And what Kelly was about to say was like, Beyonce really, him marrying Beyonce put him on a different platform because Beyonce was already like, you know.
Beyonce was already crossed over.
Right, she was already crossed
over. So like, she was like, welcome to this world of white people and money. And he was like, let me take full advantage of this. She made him marketable. We can't deny that. Like, he was hella hood and he couldn't dress before Beyonce.
Beyonce can't dress by her damn self.
Her mama helps and it's been working out.
She cannot dress. Beyonce is not a fashionista. Rihanna, you know, somebody like that. Rihanna pulls it off.
I mean, Rihanna's bad in every way, but just be reasonable.
And that's why Jay-Z cheated with Rihanna.
Shots fired. Yeah.
M16.
What a victim.
I'm gonna tell you this. I see Jay-Z in a whole nother light, and like I look at him, like Jay-Z's probably one of the smartest, scariest dudes probably ever to hit hip hop. Like he knows how to transcend. Like I even question. Like, for one, rap in that category, who is faithful? It's like marrying a... No, listen, let me finish. It's like marrying a basketball player. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know what you're going to get. So, like, to me, Jay is a businessman and a hustler at all costs. So, like, him pulling Kanye up. I'm like, even when he didn't stay proper...
He didn't even believe in Kanye, one. And do you think he would have the same success if he would have married Rihanna?
He did believe. He gave Kanye a chain.
What? Okay,
Kanye even talked about how he turned him down. several times.
I'm saying
several times.
Part of the creative process.
Okay, so if he would have married Rihanna, you don't think he would have been where he is right now?
If he did what now?
Married Rihanna.
No, listen to what I'm saying. Look how smart he is.
She's not really.
Rihanna is artist.
She's not Beyonce.
Kanye's artist.
No, way more records than Beyonce. But Rihanna has sold way more records than Beyonce.
She also has three Jay-Z more albums.
Jay-Z is a politician.
Rihanna has seven albums.
It doesn't matter. Listen,
Jay-Z's a politician.
Yeah, because she has more music to sell.
Jay-Z's a politician.
Jay-Z is a politician. You can't trust him.
You keep Rihanna up under you. You keep Kanye up under you, and he's right beside you. He's your big brother. Just and then please. You marry somebody you can take into the White House with you. Beyonce. He's a businessman.
The White
you
House.
You get rid of all your nigga friends, state property,
White House.
And you drop them off.
Rihanna.
Like he dropped every last one of his nigga friends off.
Now every last one.
On, why you got?
I'm just keeping it 100.
Like right. See way Jay moves.
It's true. No, he hangs out with like Chris Martin from Coldplay, bro. Like he doesn't have black friends anymore.
Well, he still got Memphis Bleak.
No, he like oh, doesn't. No. Do we see him with Memphis Bleak? Yo, even no, bruh. Even when like there was a photo op of like when Made America first happened a couple years back, and Memphis was on stage with him. So like it's like Jay, the mayor of Philadelphia, and then Memphis Bleak on the other side of the stage. Like, oh, I am here too, and like there's it's a.
I mean, you gotta separate.
But what I'm saying,
you gotta separate the hood from the bitch.
Sure, and I understand that. We talked about how you like that. That makes someone a like
he's an opportunist. He's an opportunist.
Sure, but does that make him a better rapper or like more?
It's a smaller rapper.
Smaller, right? Yeah.
Like to me, I was telling somebody this. I was like, think about it. Tupac and Big said a lot of great stuff and they was dope, but they never got to live it. Jay took the dream and lived it.
Well, they got shot.
But I'm saying, like Jay said.
I mean, if Jay had got shot, like he wouldn't have got to live the dream either. It's like these dudes were definitely on the path of living the dream. It was.
Do you think Tupac would have married somebody like? Who could
he didn't have to. Tupac.
Who could Tupac marry? No, who could Tupac marry to take him to another level? Who could Tupac marry?
He didn't have to. Tupac.
No, who could he have married? Somebody could take him to another level. No, Jada was not going to take him to another level. Jada didn't take Will to another level.
Oprah Winfrey.
What? Okay. No, I don't know. You're right. But, no.
Who could Tupac have married?
Was a revolutionary.
I don't think that there was no female person who was like maybe Aaliyah.
Yeah, maybe Aaliyah.
He didn't even date her.
But I mean, she was also a child at the time.
Tyra Banks probably could.
No.
Tyra.
No.
I'm talking about back then.
Yeah, no, I mean, she had just done Higher Learning.
I'm talking about her and Naomi Campbell.
She was modeling for real, but I mean, like, were we? I don't know. Were we checking for time?
Janet Jackson?
Janet, maybe.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Janet, okay.
I think it doesn't matter, though. Okay. Tupac could have married anyone or no one, and he still would have been the best rapper ever.
He's different, though. He was the leader for
this. I know. He went to school in Maryland.
So, Nas or Jay-Z and what?
I always got to roll with Jay for so many other reasons. Like, I think business is a part of music and people try to always take one and the other. And like, you can't have a successful career without making smart business moves, bringing the right producers, getting the right team around you, the right management, the right moves at the right time. So Jay all around, because he was a smarter businessman than everybody and he was consistent. He made consistently great albums. I got to go with Jay. All but right. Nas is my favorite artist.
All right.
I don't want
to. Trish's. Nas or Jay-Z?
Wait, didn't I do this already?
Huh?
Didn't I do this already?
It's like a roll call.
Yeah.
Okay, I said Jay-Z. Yeah.
Right. Okay, I believe in the artistry. I believe there are so many artists out there that, like, even if you just look at art, period, like an artist that draws, like, they don't get their recognition until after they pass away. And I feel like artistry wise, if not business wise, Nas.
So you rolling with Nas?
Nas.
Kelly Kill. Breeze Easy.
You know, it's gonna have to be Nas for me, guys.
Oh, man.
It's Nas. Okay, so here's the thing. Jay's got the like staying relevant. He's been able to, you know, trend hop and like be current. But at the same time, Illmatic and Ether were everything I ever needed to hear from Nas. Like, Jay can't say shit about either of those things. And because, like, Nas is untouchable on those levels. Like, I mean, like Jay has made great music, but there, you couldn't name a Jay album that like makes you feel better than Illmatic, and you couldn't name a Jay song that makes you feel like he won the whole game. Like when I heard Ether, I was like, this battle is done. Like I threw my hat up, I shmoneyed, it was done. So I mean, it's Nas all day, but Jay's the better businessman.
I think I have to go with Jay-Z. I think Jay-Z makes, he's more consistent. Everything O'Hill was saying, he's more consistent. He knows how to build the team. He knows how to build the producers. Jay-Z definitely has the better beats than Nas. I think that was Nas' fall off. He didn't have the, everybody talks about Illmatic, and Illmatic is a great album, but Reasonable Doubt was a better album to me.
But I feel
Hold on. Okay. It had better beats, and Jay-Z just stuck with time. And I know in the article it said that Nas, he was not a trend artist. You know, he stuck to his guns or whatever. But I think that was his downfall. I think he should have like maybe switched up his flow a little bit. Even Jay-Z said, "Hey, bro, switch up the flow. You know, switch it up."
But why do you have to switch up your flow if you're an artist and you see a vision and you stick to that vision? There's somebody that's gonna be drawn to your vision. And when you feel like, oh, I gotta sell more, I gotta get this money, and I switch up my shit, then you're not staying true to yourself. You're like just being marketable. You're not being an artist.
You had to piss Nas off to be great, though. After his first album,
he slept with his baby mama, Carmen. That's why Nas was pissed off. Jay-Z was pissed off.
No, I'm gonna tell you this. Jay got in his skin so bad on the Takeover that Nas had to make a great album, or his whole career was gone. The way Jay,
but you don't think it had nothing to do with his baby mama?
Yeah, I think that do, but the way Jay did him on Takeover, and then he made a classic album on The Blueprint. The Blueprint was a classic album. It's gonna be one of Jay-Z's greatest albums, one of hip hop's greatest albums. And then you eat everybody up on one song. Mm. So if Nas didn't crush him on Ether, it was over for Nas. Cause like 1 minute everybody was like, Nas' career over. No, it's over and over. And then when Nas dropped Ether, the whole world was like, whoa, it's the best battle. He killed Jay. Like I couldn't even look at Jay the same after the way Nas mocked him.
Nah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? It was like,
because if somebody come for you, you got to hold your own. Like if you don't, then you're a sucker.
But it wasn't.
Period.
But see, here's the thing I'm saying though. It wasn't just Ether that was dope. That whole Stillmatic album was
Stillmatic classic. Was fire.
You know what I'm saying? Like fire. He rapped the song backwards. He got one where he sounded like Slick Rick.
Rewind.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the album was a class, but it was Jay getting at his tail to make him, because I feel like Nas is like Lil Wayne in a little bit. And I know that's two different, so let me fill it out. You know, like, I feel like Lil Wayne is disinterested in music, so he gets on the album and say anything.
Yeah.
But like the Carter One is a classic because he was pissed off because all his homeboys left.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody was saying he sucked.
He had something to talk about.
Yeah, so he has something to come right. And I think that's the same thing with Nas. Like you hear Nas' genius in his music, but it's like I'm playing around.
Sure, but like you don't get any of that. Like Jay, I don't remember the, like Jay makes good music and that like it's catchy.
But here's the thing, we don't have Maybachs, dude.
Like Jay is not talking to us anymore. So like Jay left us a long time ago. Nas has been with us, and I think that's what, like, Jay's not talking to like his audience anymore. And I think we all see that and feel that. And so it's hard for me to like really ride for him today because he's not riding for me.
And he's never made a conscious record like Nas has. Period.
All right.
And they got too much damn money, and they need to share a little bit. They're trying to be all the, you know, black and rich.
I'm not hating on his money because we gonna get ours.
All right, we got three Jay-Z's and we got two Nas's. Is that right?
When has Jay-Z ever stood up for us? Hey. Nas always.
Where is Nick at? What is Nick?
Good question. Standing up doesn't mean actually speaking out loud or doing something.
Yes, it does. If you don't stand for anything, you fall for anything.
But Jason,
stand for yourself. Speak up for yourself. If you don't speak up for yourself, that's a bullshit.
Real world though. So like, Jay can talk more junk quietly though. Jay,
but like, Beyonce, not
can go behind.
Wait, before we cut it off, when he was in Barney's, when his stuff was in Barney's, and Barney's was checking for us, and we spent our money. We spent our money. Nope. We spent our money in Barney's, and then they was accusing us of stealing when we spent our own money in Barney's. And Jay Z kept on supporting Barney's. Are you serious? Are you freaking serious? Nope.
It's true. No, it blows me. It blows me.
All right. So last time,
stand up for yourself or else.
We talking about T-Pain. T-Pain, basically, he came back. We talked about T-Pain last week for releasing. Basically, he did a unplug with NPR. It was amazing. He was basically, he was all in internet frenzy. He sung Bartender and Up and Down, and I forgot the last song he did. But anyway, you know, T-Pain can sing, no auto-tune. So this week, he released his first song off his upcoming album, Stoicville.
And
man, no auto-tune, straight rapping, basically airing out all the information about how people did him wrong and how he grew up, how his dad don't show him the appreciation that he's supposed to. What do y'all feel about that track?
I loved it. I actually loved it. I feel like anytime you're passionate about something, it's gonna connect to your audience. And I feel like that's where the route T-Pain is going. I feel like he took a lot of time off. It said he has like 127 songs recorded since. This is not even his whole career. This is just from the break that he's had. And I feel like he's been taking his time. He's been, you know, saying what he feels. And I feel like it's great. It's a great turnout for him. And I feel like he's a good artist as well. Like, I never felt like he put out anything bad. Like, I like T-Pain, but I think it's overrated when you say, oh, he doesn't have to have autotune. Like, he's not the best singer in the world, period.
Trish, let me ask you something right quick. Are you a T-Pain fan?
I wouldn't say fan, like, I don't like buy his albums or anything, but I thought it was the whole NPR thing was really cool.
Oh, so you did watch it, you did saw it.
I use a vocal effects processor in my live show, and I do like a lot of vocal effects as an effect. Yeah. And so I thought that was kind of just a cool point to drive across, that, you know, like, this can't, that it's a musical choice. It's an artistic choice. Exactly. So yeah.
So Kels, what do you think about the track?
I like the track. I like that it was honest. It was great to hear him sing about something that wasn't drinking. he loves to drink.
Drinking part.
It was, when I watched the NPR thing, it was kind of hysterical to me to hear someone like sing like buy you a drink, like, yeah, without auto, like, auto-tune is necessary in those songs because they're about the club, and like, so to have a crooner like R&B you like Teddy P like booty do is like what happened here? So I was impressed with his, you know, ability to sing. I never thought that he couldn't sing, though. I always realized that T-Pain like was just trying to make a sound for himself. The fact that everyone jumped on it isn't his fault. But it's I mean, like, it was good to hear. Like, I really just like the realism of the track. Like, I don't know, everyone's on there, you know, Gambino and their whiny Drake, and I think we're getting a lot of that in music right now, which I'm not mad at, because I think artists are being authentic again. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited about what this new album is going to bring, because it's not going to be Buy You a Drink. And
I'm like Master P, you know what I'm saying? I think T-Pain needs to stop.
What?
No, I'm talking about when it comes to his thinking. You know, when him and Pastor Troy had got into it, and Pastor Troy went at him tough, P just ignored him. And I'm getting tired of like him trying to explain why I use auto-tunes. Just like, I don't care. It's like, anytime you grade at something, everybody's gonna take a shot at you. Like, ignore him. Like, you would explain. And I think him and B.O.B. to me, a lot of times are in the same, I put them in the same category. It's because how you cross over and you go back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it messes your career up. Like, you cross over, you at pop status. Like, he went B.O.B. from Beautiful Girl to, like, I'm like, bro, you a thug now. Like,
no, wait, hold on. But that's just different.
But that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying both of them.
But like, you know, B.O.B. started out with hip hop.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, but he was like,
then he crossed over.
But he was pop hip hop. Like, in the sky.
His first song was
In the Sky.
No, bro. His first song was I can't think of it right.
Airplanes?
No. His very first song. I can't remember his first song, but I was at a radio station when he first came out.
Oh, okay.
And he came to the radio station, and we used to play the song a lot. I forgot the name of the song, though.
But he's a real musician. But anyway,
that was definitely a southern radio movement.
He was always been a real musician, though. He can play.
Yeah.
He can even play the guitar.
Yeah. So, like, with him and T-Pain both, I think, like, T-Pain, he's crossed over. I don't know. And I'm kind of interested because he did 100 and some songs. Like, that's crazy, first of all.
Yeah.
But, like, and you a singer and a rapper. But, like, some of the stuff he's put out lately, what's the 5 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that. Like, you over there now. Like, don't come back over here unless you're just going to drop a song and just do a party song. Like, I feel like he's crossing over, but he's coming back. I don't know, stay loyal or what. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my whole fear. Like, why? Don't explain yourself no more. I'm like that too.
Yeah.
You done so much. Like, go on. Like, be great. You know what I'm saying? Don't go back with people going to try to hold you back and say, do this, T-Pain. You come from this hood. Okay, your father ain't did this. Like, my father ain't do a whole lot. I ain't trying to bring him up in every song. Like, yeah, whatever.
I think the song is...
You didn't like the track? You didn't like it?
I didn't even listen to it.
Oh, come on. You need to listen. Do your research, boy.
I read an article. I'm like him and B.O.B. Like, I just don't want to hear their music.
Wait, Jay, it's called Haters Everywhere I Go.
Haters Everywhere. That's what it was.
But
haters.
First of all, it's how you feel at the moment. If you feel like I got haters everywhere I go, if you feel like I'm on airplanes, then do your thing as an artist. It's how you feel. It ain't about I'm a hip hop or I'm pop now. Like, do what you feel and people are gonna connect to you, because when the moment that you're fake and you're an artist, that's when the people are not gonna be like, what's up with him?
What is that?
Unless you're Iggy Azalea.
What is that?
I like Iggy.
So please don't.
So do we hear? Do we see a career resurrection from T-Pain? Because
that's the thing. There's no resurrection because his break was self-imposed. Like T-Pain, T-Pain was like, actually, like, if you guys want to hate, I'm gonna take some time.
He did, yeah.
And I'm glad he did. I think that's healthy. Mm-hmm. But it's not like he didn't make bad music and was like, everyone was like, you need a break. Like, he left on a high note, and I still bump that 5 o'clock, and I don't even care that much for Lily Allen.
He kills hooks. He murders them. Like, he made all those songs in Florida here.
Yeah.
You take his hook out of all them songs in Florida from He So Hood.
T-Pain was hot, man.
Like, to all the DJ Khaled Plies. Like, you take him out of them songs is not.
They're not the same song.
I bet y'all remember Two Step Remix, DJ Unk. T-Pain, y'all remember that?
Come on, bro. Yo, the Atlanta's coming all the way out of this show.
So no career resurrection.
I don't know if he's gonna get back. I think he will get back on the radio because he knows how to get back on the radio. But I think that this album is not gonna be about him getting back on the radio. So I mean, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, he can, like, his songs still play on the radio. Exactly. You know what I mean? So, like, I think that, like, right now, if he wants to be an artist and, like, make the music that he wants to make, I'm all about that. And I'll even buy it. I'll go to YouTube or iTunes or whatever, however people buy music.
His label, for, I don't know why, but they released, like, the greatest T-Pain songs. It was, like, 13.
There's like, only 13.
And it's like, first of all, T-Pain he only been in the game, what, 9 years?
That's a long time for the game.
But not to have a greatest hits, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
you
gotta be the game. You gotta be the game. Like, greatest hits, you know what I mean?
Greatest hits.
But I mean,
right, and you gotta be honest. You gotta be relevant.
Britney had a greatest hits, I think. Like,
well, Britney been in the game for a long time.
Yeah, Beyonce
been in the game for a long time.
Mariah had a. I'm saying though that it's time.
But it's not time.
I don't know. I think no. T-Pain made a whole sound that we listened to for like 4 straight years.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that makes a pop legend. Like, I mean, Janet. It was in and out, you know. Like,
but it's urban. This is urban, though.
I'm saying the whole timing was wrong. Like, I feel like he should have had the best.
That was his label, though. I think
it was his label.
Sure, I'm sure he didn't. Like, his idea was, how about we cap this with the greatest hits?
It should have been like on his 10th year or maybe his 15th year when he had a greatest.
I feel like this is his 10th year, like 2004.
No, next year is his 10th year.
I think
he got signed in 2005.
I don't know about
But he's been making music. Like, 2004 was when I first heard
it's
him.
It's not really officially. Yeah, that's when he made I'm Sprung.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not officially to, like,
I don't know, bro. When I heard I'm Sprung, that shit felt official to me. I don't know what you're talking about, but I was sprung.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up with T-Pain.
Yeah, bro.
One more thing for you, Trisha. We got our relationship expert over here.
I I'm no expert, you guys. I'm single and ready to mingle, though.
We're gonna do like a, because we always arguing about like different types of relationships.
Okay.
So B Brown, she has I'm some ready. For you, Trisha.
But okay. I think T-Pain gonna blow though, because
we finished that.
You see how you play me, Kelly? I got a trick for him in the next show. We finished that show, bro. Oh man, you asked me questions.
You trying to get back in, bro? We finished with that, man. All right, go ahead, D.
Okay, so I want to ask you, as a songwriter, do you feel like heartbreak or being in that lovey-dovey feeling gives you more material to write for? Which one do you feel like is better for you?
I don't think one or the other is better, honestly. I don't know. I just think I express myself either way, and
So you don't think that, like, when you are heartbroken and you just cry your tears, and it doesn't make you more passionate?
I mean, my favorite songs I've written are just like when I was like in the beginning of a relationship, like falling in love.
Okay.
And I think I feel like those songs are harder to write.
The lovey-dovey ones?
The happy ones. Oh, okay. I think those are harder to write, and I think heartbreak, you know, you can write a bunch of sad songs about that, but it's like I'm not trying to just like write good songs, like I'm trying to like make new music.
Relatable songs.
And I think there's only so much heartbreak you can write about, you know? And I feel like
Tamara Jada.
I don't know. I think it's like different guys can bring some different stuff out of you. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, Adele made a lot of money off being real, real sad about a dude.
That's true. I don't know.
Have you been heartbroken?
Yeah.
I like her.
Or did you break some hearts?
I was about to say that to
you. Which one did you? Did you hurt him or did he hurt you?
On the spot with B Brown.
I've had pretty like amicable breakups.
So you still cool with all your exes?
I'm not that exciting.
How do you feel? Feel like you could be cool with your ex like that?
I'm cool with all of my exes.
So do you call and check on them and say, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Christmas?
No.
No.
Like, how are you cool with them then?
No, like, bad feelings. Like,
so you just like,
all breakups have been,
hey, if I see you out, just hi, bye.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not enough.
Yeah. Okay. It's boring.
So, so are you single right now?
I'm not.
Okay, so you have a boo. Is he here?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why we're kind of mum on this subject. Okay,
I can leave. I like this guy.
So what did your boo do to get your attention, or what did he have to do to make it official for you that made you like, okay, I can be with him?
To what
when you were dating, you know, what did he have to do to get your attention, or like now to make it official, to make boyfriend, this is my man?
I kind of fell in love with him when I met him. It was kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were still doing that. That's wild. That's awesome.
So do you ever pay for like dates?
Yeah. Didn't I pay for
something? I paid for something
the other day.
Wait, no. Before you made it official, did you pay for any dates?
No.
Oh.
That's how we do it.
You know.
All right, man. So we're gonna wrap this up. We talked. Trisha, what's your Twitter feed and your website?
It's Trisha's Music, T-R-I-S-H-E-S, is my Twitter and Instagram, and then Facebook.com/Trisha's Music. And then my website is just Trisha's.com, T-R-I-S-H-E-S.
And y'all make sure y'all check out a new joint, Day Jive, dropping tomorrow at the video. I'm gonna try to make that. Is that a river? What's it called?
River Rock in Studio City at 8 p.m.
tomorrow, man. So make sure y'all come out. Ohead, what's your Twitter feed, man?
I am Ohead. I am O-L-D-H-E-A-D. That's everything. Instagram, Twitter, Vine, all of that.
Ms. B. Brown, conversation piece.
You know, it's your girl. There she go. Conversation piece. And my Twitter is Ms. Combo Piece. And
And my Instagram is conversation piece, and it's like a piece of something, like a piece of cake, a piece of pizza, something like that. You know, holla.
Kelly Kim.
Yo. Breezy Easy here on the Instagram and the Twitter, B-R-E-E-Z-Y Easy. You can find me on Facebook at Kelly Braxton. Yeah, Tony, you know, like that. And the Kelly is a little special. It's K-H-E-L-L-I-E because my mom is a unique lady. So right. Check out for me.
And y'all find me J Styles, J-A-Y Styles TV on everything. And that's about it. Next week, we're going to have Dundee, new artist Dundee from Crenshaw, hot artist. And make sure we're on iTunes now. Make sure y'all hit us up on iTunes. Subscribe to the page at Oh Yeah We Talk. And hit us up on Facebook, Oh Yeah We Talk, Twitter, everything. Oh Yeah We Talk, IG. Oh Yeah We Talk. And we
yeet.
Watch the video from Trisha's.
Yeet.
Watch and we video. Have a studio audience members in the building. We have, come on
shout
over.
Shout out to fans. Shout out to Risa in the building.
Dorothea.
And Dorothea
there.
Is in the building.
Yeet.
And also Trisha's boyfriend. Shannon's in the building.
That's why we couldn't get any real answers, but it's okay.
All right, man. We out, man. Y'all catch
yeet
next week. Yeah.